And greetings again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Buenihao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Buongiorno. Guten Tag. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now go vegan. Peace. Now go vegan. From the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Military Industrial Corporation in the bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And, I guess I have to do my apology also, you know, for, gosh, I hate to say it, my, you know, it's kind of like my Michael Richards kind of outburst when I was doing my vegan sit-down stand-up routine at the comedy club in Hollywood. I'm just so embarrassed that it was caught on a cell phone camera, and it's been on most of the cable channels and, you know, the entertainment channels, you know, right, the story usually right after Britney Spears and her divorce. And anyway, if you haven't heard it, I guess, you know, you might as well hear it here. So, Leo, could you please play the tape, you know, so the people listening on radio can hear what happened. Okay, you like that one? Great. All right. But seriously, folks, and take my wife, please. Hey, vegans are number one at number two. What, you don't? Hey, carnivore, you don't like my jokes? Hey, carnivore, you don't? Well, you can just get right out of here, carnivore. What, all you can do is heckle? You carnivore, get out of here, carnivore. There you have it. I was so embarrassed. I've been apologizing to everyone, the Meat Council, to Jimmy Dean. I even visited the gravesite of Colonel Sanders. But please forgive me. It's, after all, it's been 6 years on the air now as the premier voice of opposition to consumption of cadaver cuisine and flesh food on the radio. So please forgive me. Sometimes I just can't control my emotions, and, you know, my comedy routine doesn't usually go over well anyway, so I usually have to degrade the audience. I apologize. It won't happen again, you know. Yeah. Almost 6 years on the air in opposition to the consumption of cadaver foods and cadaver clothing. And, oh, gosh, and so much consumption there is, huh? I mean, isn't this the time of year of totally conspicuous consumption? I mean, consume. You servant of the corporation, you. And don't you dare forget, you are a consumer first and a citizen second, or maybe 12th or 18th or something like that. After all, you were called upon to consume after 9/11. No, not to enlist. You know, that was being handled quite nicely by the Pentagon sales force recruiting in high schools in the poorer neighborhood. So you didn't have to enlist. No, you could fulfill your patriotic duty by shopping. And Bush said so. Giuliano said so. You know, don't question. Don't dissent. Don't protest. Remember, how many times do we have to repeat it? You are a consumer, not a citizen. You are a consumer, not a citizen. And apparently it starts at a very early age, too. And that's part of what we will be discussing a little bit later on in the program with today's guest. We'll be talking to Michelle Simon. She has a new book out called Appetite for Profit. And she also has a book release party coming up on Saturday in Oakland. And we'll tell you about that in just a little bit. But now, according to FCC regulations, I am required to advise you that when you have completed listening to this hour of Go Vegan with Bob Linden, you are urged to continue shopping. Please, again, continue shopping. Okay, and please forgive me if I complied with that little FCC regulation also, since not to do so perhaps would have been a violation of the new anti-constitutional law just enacted by your Gov-Enron Mint, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. For to encourage you not to shop would surely mean less consumption of animals. After all, our entire economy is based on the consumption and exploitation of animals, if you haven't noticed. You know, go shop for your holiday your holiday parties, you know, slice up the cadavers and serve them on a party plate. Don't worry about every piece of meat originating in violence. We want that out of our lives. But remember, every piece of meat. But don't think about that, okay? Because it's your patriotic duty as a consumer to make sure that we reach our goal of 10 billion innocent animals killed again for food this year in this country. That is our goal to reach. We've been reaching it every year in the past. And you are to help to reach 10 billion animals, innocent animals. 10 billion land animals murdered for food in the United States every year. Which one is your hors d'oeuvre, huh? You know, they are killed one at a time. Which one are you wearing? That's right. You know, it seems that the diet of death that you got there, it kind of reflects in your eye for fashion. And go shopping, you know, because consumers who live on a diet of death just seem to want to dress to kill. And what's more fashionable lately than to be draped in death? Now, I'm not just saying that because...
Oh, new one. I know. You're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
No, but really, when you consider that all of our shopping... Two of our major needs, food and clothing, you know, shop till you drop, but it seems the more you shop, the more the animals drop dead. You know, I eat like a caveman. I dress like a caveman. I want to wear murdered animals. So, what, at least 40 million animals have to be murdered to be worn as fur this year. Yeah, maybe 40 animals for one fur coat. Animals who are trapped to where they'll chew off their legs to escape before the trapper returns to kill them, or where they're farmed and so confined that they go berserk before being gassed or anally electrocuted or genetically electrocuted or stomped or drowned or injected with who knows what. But, you know, people are shopping for fur anyway. It's fashionable, huh? People are shopping oblivious to the suffering. They shop, they shop for leather and wool and silk, all products of animal suffering. They shop. They shop for soaps and candles, most with animal exploitation as a main ingredient. They shop for petroleum-intense plastic toys, most of which will be in the landfill within a few weeks. They shop. You know, but they don't seem to realize, they don't think about the ingredients, what goes into the products, and that this lifestyle is really unsustainable. I tried to get to this a few weeks ago, this Reuters article that came out talking about the WWF study, saying humans are living far beyond the planet's means. That's what it's saying. Humans are stripping nature at an unprecedented rate and will need two planets worth of natural resources every year by 2050 on current trends. The WWF conservation group said, this goes back a couple of weeks ago, it's largely because of human threats such as pollution and clearing of forests and overfishing. That's what the group said in its, it does this report every 2 years. Quoting here, for more than 20 years, we've exceeded the Earth's ability to support a consumptive lifestyle that is unsustainable, and we cannot afford to continue down this path, WWF Director General James Leap said, launching the WWF's 2006 Living Planet Report. If everyone around the world lived as those in the United States, we would need five planets to support us, Leap, an American, said in Beijing. People in the United Arab Emirates were placing most stress per capita on the planet, ahead of those in the U.S., followed by Finland and Canada. And Australia also is living beyond its means. It says, everyone would have to change lifestyles, cutting use of fossil fuels and improving management of everything from farming to fisheries. It says, as countries work to improve the well-being of their people, they risk bypassing the goal of sustainability. That's what Leap said. At a report at the university there, it's inevitable that this disconnect will eventually limit the abilities of poor countries to develop and rich countries to maintain their prosperity, he said. The report said humans' ecological footprint, the demand people place on the natural world, was 25% greater than the planet's annual ability to provide everything from food to energy and recycle all human waste in 2003. In the previous report, the 2001 overshoot was 21%. On current projections, humanity will be using two planets worth of natural resources by 2050 if those resources have not run out by then, the latest report said. People are turning resources into waste faster than nature can turn waste back into resources. It says humanity's footprint was more than tripled between 1961 and 2003. It said consumption has outpaced the surge in the world's population to 6.5 billion people from 3 billion in 1960. UN projections show a surge to 9 billion in 2050. 9 billion people in 2050. Said that the footprint from use of fossil fuels, whose heat-trapping emissions are widely blamed for pushing up world temperatures, was the fastest-growing cause of strain. So there the report is. It showed that, the WWF report also said that an index tracking 1,300 vertebrate species, birds, fish, amphibians, reptiles, and mammals showed that populations had fallen for most by about 30%, because of factors including a loss of habitat to farms. Among species most under pressure included the swordfish and the South African Cape vulture. So there you have it from that report. And also, one other thing at this year, time of conspicuous consumption, we should make note that a catastrophe in the making is all of the catalogs that go out. And there's a group that's in opposition to this, and it says here, the real cost of retail catalogs. Catalogs destroy North America's endangered forests. Each year, catalog retailers mail out around 17 billion catalogs. That's 59 catalogs for every man, woman, and child in the U.S. Yet almost none of this paper contains any recycled content. This means that every year, over 8 million tons of trees go straight into catalogs that are often discarded unread. Catalogs are needlessly consuming North America's most valuable forest regions and filling our overburdened landfills. And I know there's a campaign against Victoria's Secret because of this. It says it's a challenge for industry change. Catalog customers are learning that catalogs do much more than clog their mailboxes. They're concerned about the impacts of paper manufacturing and use on their forests and environment. After a two-year campaign by Forest Ethics and allies, office supply leader Staples Incorporated announced the landmark environmental policy. Shortly thereafter, Office Depot and Office Max announced policies as well. Forest Ethics is now shifting its attention to the catalog industry, challenging the industry to stop buying paper from endangered forests and to maximize the post-consumer recycled content in catalogs. According to the 2002 Cone Corporation Citizens Study, 89% of Americans say that in light of recent financial scandals, it is more important than ever for companies to be socially responsible. 76% of those surveyed said they would refuse to purchase a company's products or services if they learned of a company's negative practices. Well, destroying the forest, how about that? The two endangered forest regions in North America are threatened by the catalog industry. The Great Northern Boreal Forests of Canada and the Southeastern Forests of the United States. Over two-thirds of the world's paper supply comes from biologically diverse natural forests. In addition to destroying forests, current paper production practices have other repercussions. For example, energy use. Paper production is the third most energy intensive of all manufacturing industries, using 11.5% of all energy in the industrial sector. Pollution. The pulp and paper industry ranks third among industrial sectors in emissions of toxic release inventory chemicals to air and fifth in discharges of such chemicals to surface water. And there's solid waste. Paper and paperboard products make up the largest portion, 31% of discarded municipal solid waste. So the idea is to encourage recycled and what's with the catalogs anyway? Anyway, you can check with forestethics.org or more information on that. But please, I don't want to put a damper on your urge to splurge. Perhaps you should go out and buy a basket of organic fruits and vegetables, or you know, go shopping at Follow Your Heart in the gift section there. They always have wonderful gifts, and I don't think they're too taxing on the environment. You know, Follow Your Heart, 21825 Sherman Way in Canoga Park. You know, if you're shopping for a good book, we will be talking to Michelle Simon shortly. And also, let me just ask here quickly that you support this radio program. You know, as I said, it'll be coming up on 6 years, 6 years at the end of January, where we've been doing? Insulting just about every corporation in the galaxy. So that kind of narrows down the potential universe for advertisers here. And so advertisers, by the way, are wanted and needed. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services right here affordably, you know, and reach an audience that's interested in such products and services. And please also patronize the advertisers of this program. And you can help us make it to our 6th anniversary. You know, we have to buy radio airtime every week. It's quite expensive. And you can help with a tax-deductible donation. You can donate online at goveganradio.com, or you can mail your check, make it payable to Go Vegan Radio, and send it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. And it's tax-deductible, as Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. Okay, I thank you for listening. Michelle Simon coming up. We're going to talk about her great new book, Appetite for Profit, today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And please, when you're out there shopping, please, no animal ingredients. Buy cruelty-free. Go vegan. Stop eating animals. Stop wearing animals. Thank you very much for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
This is the actual sound of an animal being killed for a fur coat.
You're not going to get your mouth on me, little girl.
Well, when they've bitten you 3 times, to hear that neck pop, it feels so good.
Buying a fur coat isn't just a pain in the neck. It's agony for animals. A message from Captain LCA. Call 1-888-88-ANIMAL.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Well, now you can run on solar power too with Sunshine Burger since 1983. Now it's your turn to discover the delicious simplicity of organic vegan ingredients with protein-packed Sunshine Burgers. Protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. It's Sunshine Burgers, which are simply delicious from simple ingredients like the original certified organic, ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. Totally delicious. Or you can try the organic zesty Southwestern Sunshine Burger. You will love that one too. And you know, a lot of people are looking to avoid soy or wheat, and so Sunshine Burgers are perfect for you. They're gluten-free sunshine burgers with protein from the sunflower kernel, which is also rich in fiber and potassium and iron and vitamin E. It is the gourmet burger since 1983. It's oven-baked. It's pre-cooked, so you just heat it and serve it. And you are solar-powered, too, with Sunshine Burger. I have people contacting me all the time. They're falling in love with Sunshine Burgers. Look for them in the frozen food section of your natural foods market.
Oh, no, now you're going to give it to people. Animal burgers.
Not if they can give them sunshine burgers, huh? Well, is your omega-3 a little fishy? Too bad if it is, because then you're actually depleting the oceans of marine life, and fish oils often contain mercury and heavy metals and PCBs and other toxins that accumulate in marine environments. But now you can benefit from the original vegan omega-3 DHA supplement, OmegaZen-3 from Nutru. Yes, OmegaZen-3, available at all Southern California Whole Foods markets, provides you with your omega-3s in an all-natural, once-a-day formulation derived from natural, plant-based marine sources grown in controlled, pollution-free conditions, in a totally vegan format with no animal contaminants. In fact, Nutru's OmegaZen 3 has been evaluated by the Environmental Defense Organization Oceans Project as a best choice product, with test results showing no mercury, no PCBs, no dioxins, or other similar contaminants. And we've been talking about the importance of your omega-3s, and we'll talk about it a little later in this hour, too, with the effects for a cardiovascular system. And I think that you will enjoy OmegaZen 3 from Nutru, because it's from a company that really has our values in mind. I mean, products developed concerning the ethical treatment of animals, the utilization of sustainable plant sources, a vegan lifestyle, energy conservation, recycling, less dependence on petroleum. That's what you get from OmegaZen 3 from Nutru. You can go to the website. It's Nutru.com.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N. K-S, meat stinks.
So don't eat it then, and you don't have to when you go to a wonderful vegan restaurant like Truly in Hollywood. Truly at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. Truly can cater. Truly delivers also. The phone number is 323-466-7958. And it says right on the menu, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society by using products that are animal-free. We're making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. But who could imagine how good the greater good can taste from breakfast to dinner? And breakfast is wonderful. I was just at Truly not that long ago enjoying the pancakes over there. I really like, there's a fried chicken dish that's wonderful, the soy chicken glee. Take anybody there who says, I can't give up chicken, take them to Truly and get the soy chicken glee. That is, it's like a fried chicken, only more delicious, no bird, totally vegan. You love the soups and the salads and the burgers, the sandwiches, the wraps. You got great noodle dishes there and curries and veggie and rice. That is Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. When you're stuck in the freeway traffic on the 101, it's right there at the Hollywood Boulevard exit. So let the traffic die down and enjoy a great meal at Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson.
It's gonna be your fire blending.
And we continue on the planet's first commercial vegan radio show. And today we will be talking to Michelle Simon, who is a public health lawyer, and she's been working as a nutrition advocate since 1996, specializing in policy analysis and legal strategies. She's published numerous articles about such issues as the school lunch program, organic standards, USDA dietary guidelines, veggie libel laws, genetically mutated foods, and obesity lawsuits. And she teaches health policy at the University of California, Hastings College of Law, where she received her law degree, and she received her master's degree in public health at Yale. And welcome, Michelle Simon. How are you?
Good, thank you.
It's great to have you back again.
Yes, thanks for having me.
It's been a few years, and you're back because you're releasing a new book now. It's called Appetite for Profit, How the Food Industry Undermines Our Health and How to Fight Back. So so food and corporations aren't such a good combination, Michelle?
Well, no, as it turns out, food industry, as you might have suspected, only has profit-making in mind and not exactly our health. And what we have is a national debate going on to figure out how did we get into this situation where so many people are suffering from diet-related illness, and if food companies are finding themselves on the receiving end of some well-deserved criticism, and they're not taking the finger-pointing lying down. What they're doing is fighting back with a lot of rhetoric and spin control. So that's basically what I try to do in the book, is to really unpack the dialogue and explain what the food companies are doing and their tactics.
Mm. So, we have a very unhealthy country, it seems, at the moment, with heart disease and cancer rampant and obesity. Obesity is showing in young school children. Heart disease is showing in young school children, too. So, whom is to blame?
Yeah, well, there's certainly plenty of blame to go around. I mean, you have a food industry that spends $36 billion a year marketing unhealthy products to kids and adults alike. So, you know, I mean, let's start right there. You know, people were left to their own devices. I don't think they would be seeking out products like Coca-Cola, Big Macs, and Ringdings. I mean, you know, we evolved to eat foods that come from nature, but food companies spend a lot of money to make sure that we eat the pseudo foods that they've created in laboratories for us. So, you know, I think marketing bears a big part of the blame for how people are eating.
Mm. And you call them pseudo foods. They're.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, most of the food we use in quotation marks in the supermarket these days resembles nothing that comes from nature. I mean, obviously, you know, we evolved on foods that we found in nature, and you know, food companies make money by processing the hell out of foods that come from nature, adding a lot of chemicals, salt, sugar, and fat, and then packaging it in a box and calling it food. But you know, it really resembles very little that you would find in what our ancestors ate.
Mm. But now there is a lot of concern for healthier foods, and there seems to be a movement toward that. Can we trust the food companies to do the right thing and move in that direction?
Or? Yeah. Well, there's a lot of talk about that, and certainly there are food companies that are trying to sort of jump on the healthy bandwagon. So because of the concern and because of a lot of noise being generated about how people need to be eating healthier, what we have is the packaged food industry spinning itself as making healthier food. But, you know, you think about it, a company like Frito-Lay makes money from selling potato chips, not fresh steamed potatoes. So all they can do is simply slap a label on their products to claim that it's healthy, and that's exactly what Frito-Lay's parent, PepsiCo, has done. They've created something they call the Smart Spot label, which is this green and white check mark, and of course green means healthy. So they say that their baked Lay's potato chips are healthier than the fried ones, and you know that because it has this little green and white check mark on it. And, you know, it's all about corporate spin and public relations to get people to keep eating their products at any cost, and even if they're, you know, fooling you in the process.
Wow. It almost sounds like false advertising.
Gosh, you know, that could be, and there's probably a few lawyers looking into that right now.
Yeah. Well, they're coming out, and I guess you're saying they're making these claims that these are better for you foods because what they were giving you, you know, to begin with was so awful that,
right,
that any improvement is better for you than what their original foods were.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. If you start, you know, with the lowest possible junk food, then, and if you improve it marginally, and that's even debatable if they're doing that, but let's give them that much. And, yeah, you know, it's all relative, right? If, you know, you've got complete junk And, you know, you remove one ingredient, then maybe it's less than complete junk, but it's still junk.
And that allows them to position themselves as part of the solution.
Exactly. And that's the rhetoric we hear from the food companies, that they're on board. You know, they've heard the hue and cry, that they really want to help fix this problem. And why are they doing that? Well, because obviously they want to make sure that people keep buying their products. You know, they have kind of a problem on their hands of people wake up and figure out that these food companies aren't really on our side, that they are actually, you know, selling these very unhealthy products, and so they want to make sure that you keep coming back. So by slapping these labels on the foods, then, you know, they make sure that their profits stay healthy. And the other important strategy is to make sure that government stays out of their business. So the idea of this concept of self-regulation is really important to companies. And in other words, for food companies to police themselves when it comes to their marketing and manufacturing practices, to not have a government come in and actually regulate what they're doing.
It seems like the government is cooperative with the food companies quite often, perhaps because of campaign contributions.
Yeah, that certainly plays a big role. I have a chapter called Government Complicity, which I describe all the various ways that government is adopting the rhetoric of industry. So we have, for example, with some recent revision of the food guide pyramid, now we have exercise being promoted. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with exercise, but the food companies like to, of course, deflect attention from their practices by pointing to exercise as the real solution to the obesity problem. And the government is right there along with them promoting the same idea. And it's just a wonderful way of, you know, avoiding the harder topic of dealing with food marketing. So, yes, unfortunately, we can't rely on government to help us out that much either.
And marketing starts at a very young age for children. They are the targets.
Yeah, well, food companies know they got to hook kids while they're young. And, of course, children are especially vulnerable to marketing messages because they don't even understand what marketing is. So companies use very targeted techniques like, you know, the cartoon characters that kids love, SpongeBob being a perfect example. Walk down the supermarket aisle and, you know, it's hard to miss a junk food product adorned with some cartoon character or other, SpongeBob, Dora the Explorer, you know, any number of characters from Nickelodeon, Disney, etc. And, you know, any parent with a small child knows how effective that marketing is because the kids don't even care, really, often what kind of food it is. They just go for the cartoon character. And so, you know, what you wind up having, of course, is the classic battle in the supermarket with the kids screaming for the product, and a lot of parents are tired, and it gets very difficult to keep fighting those battles, and so often we'll give in. And, you know, why are we in that situation where companies are basically coming between children and their parents, where, you know, in a way that is very harmful to the kids' health?
And the companies are also have a strong presence in the schools.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, our schools have really become very convenient marketing opportunities. And think about it, you know, it makes complete sense that companies would want to target kids in schools because they've got a captive audience and the parents aren't around. And while you would think that our school administrators, educators, et cetera, would create the safe haven that they should for kids, unfortunately, because of cutbacks in education funding, you know, these schools have really become very vulnerable to companies like Coke and Pepsi, who come in and offer them great, what sound like great deals. They might offer them a signing bonus of $50,000 to sign an exclusive contract, for example, where then Coke will come in and sell all of their products through vending machines, or they might offer some kind of sports marquee, lots of great bonuses to schools. You know, never mind the fact that they're trading off kids' health, of course. And so now we have a situation where schools have become, you know, no different than your corner mini market, you know, full of candy, chips, soda, you name it. And so, you know, kids don't even have to leave the school grounds to be subject to this marketing and unhealthy food.
Right. And I believe in your book you talk about the food company executives knowing that reaching the children at a young age is important because they build brand loyalty and at that young age, and will decide whether they're a Coke or a Pepsi drinker, you know, for the rest of his or her life.
Yep. In high schools especially, that's where companies know that's when kids are making those kinds of brand decisions. And, you know, a lot of adults are very loyal to brands, and so they got to reach them while they're young.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And I know that recently there was a McDonald's Day at a local elementary school I was mm-hmm. told about. So that's pretty amazing in itself to me.
Yep.
Yeah. It's everywhere. We're talking to Michelle Simon, and she's with the Center for Informed Food Choices. And the website is Center for Informed Food Choices. It's informedeating.org.
Yes.
That's the website, informedeating.org, for the Center for Informed Food Choices. The new book is Appetite for Profit, How the Food Industry Undermines Our Health and How to Fight Back. And you have a book release party that's happening this coming Saturday, December 9th, at the First Unitarian Church of Oakland, which is 685 14th Street near Castro Street, about four blocks west of the 12th Street BART station. Correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure you know how to find it.
At 2 o'clock.
It's 2 o'clock this Saturday, yes.
Yeah.
And this is the book release party. And you talk about front groups and public relations firms and all, and
Well, what's going on there, of course, is that the food companies recognize that they have to worry about their public image, and so they don't really like doing a lot of the dirty work that has to be done. And so what they do instead is they hire these front groups or third-party groups to do some of the real lobbying and nasty kind of tactics. So, for example, there's a group called the Center for Consumer Freedom, which has actually been attacking groups like PCRM, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and PETA for quite a while. And so this group sounds like, you know, it's good. Center for Consumer Freedom, who could be against that? But it turns out they are wholly funded by the tobacco, alcohol, and food industries. And what they do is lobby hard against any bills that would harm those industries. And they also engage in some rather nefarious tactics around putting out misinformation, basically, about science. So you'll see, for example, op-eds published in major newspapers by Director Rick Berman saying things about, oh, there's no problem here, you know, there's no connection between soda drinking, for example, and obesity, when we have actually very good science to make that connection. But he'll say these things in op-eds and say, oh, it's really about personal responsibility, et cetera. And then you just see, you know, Director Center for Consumer Freedom, without oftentimes revealing the fact that this guy, he's not a scientist, and in fact, he's completely biased in his opinions because of the funding that the organization gets. So, unfortunately, the media has become quite complicit in this whole public relations campaign by industry by often not revealing the sources that they are publishing in their newspapers.
Well, so how do we fight back?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to just give the gloom and doom. And, you know, the first step, of course, is to understanding what's going on. So when you see the latest press release from a major food company, and they are coming out with them pretty frequently these days. You know, we had a big announcement from Disney a few weeks back about how they're changing their ways. And to have a very skeptical eye when you see these announcements, and especially since the media, like I said, doesn't really tell the whole story. So
you use the term nutri-washing fast food, nutri-washing processed foods?
Coming from greenwashing, the idea of companies pretending that they're changing their ways when it's really just business as usual. So to be very skeptical when you see these announcements or when you see the packages that say that they are healthy, foods are healthy. And, you know, when you hear McDonald's, for example, claiming to be making salads now. That's their big thing. Oh, we've got healthy food. Well, the salads, of course, are just their meat sandwiches dumped on some lettuce and served up with high-fat, creamy dressing. Mm. So, you know, we have to really be very skeptical about what these companies are claiming. So that's number one. And then I give a number of resources for helping to make changes in the schools, helping to get bills passed. I mean, there are a lot of good efforts going on and a lot of community-based efforts also to get fresh produce into neighborhoods. And so there's really no shortage of opportunity to actually fight back and connect with folks that are really trying to make some good changes happen in their schools or in their communities. And so I wanted to make sure that people knew where to turn for those kinds of resources.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. So how's the book doing? Good reaction to it?
Yeah, I think so far I've had several weeks on the East Coast and giving book talks, and I think people really appreciate just having kind of a fresh perspective. And I was at Tufts University, where unfortunately, you know, a lot of the nutrition schools are, you know, taking money from the major food companies and members of the food industry. And so Tufts Nutrition School is one where they do that, unfortunately. And the students there were very receptive to what I had to say and the questions I was raising about, you know, corporations donating money or getting health professionals to come on board. And that's another problem we have. For example, Dean Ornish, you know, proponent of a vegetarian diet, actually being hired out by McDonald's, ConAgra, et cetera. So I was, you know, raising this, and the students at Tufts were really told me they were glad to have someone kind of, you know, ask the hard questions and make them feel not crazy for raising them themselves in class, where sometimes they get, you know, have a hard time with that. So I'm encouraged that, you know, people are looking for this information or kind of suspecting that something's wrong, but not quite able to put their finger on it, or, you know, not having it articulated that well by some other people in the field, et cetera. So I just, you know, I'm hoping that it's a good contribution, that people will, you know, listen to the message. And so far, like I said, I feel like I'm getting a pretty good response.
Right. Yeah. Now, what about Dean Ornish and McDonald's? I hadn't heard that.
Well, you actually go to the McDonald's website. Dean Ornish has his own page right up there. So he has he is on their advisory committee. I'm not sure the official name of it, but, you know, all of the major food companies now have formed these health advisory committees, and McDonald's is one of them. And so they've hired Dean Ornish to serve on their committee. And I've, you know, been at meetings where Ornish talks about this and defends it by saying, well, you know, he's trying to make changes from within. And that's fine if changes could actually be made. But as I reference in the book, there's another former member of the McDonald's Health Advisory Committee who actually quit because he found that all the company wanted to do was talk about exercise. You know, big surprise there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I thought that having Dean Ornish on the board of these companies would actually make a bit of difference, I'd be all for it. But, you know, the simple truth of the matter is McDonald's makes money by selling hamburgers and french fries. Okay, they're never going to make money selling salad. So there's really not much Dean Ornish can do, even from the inside. So, and the result of folks like him and many others serving on these corporate health advisory committees and taking money from them for other purposes like research is that they are no longer available to those of us who might want them to speak out negatively about these companies, right? As long as you've got, and that's the name of the game, you know, for companies to be buying up these experts, what does it mean? It means they can't speak out against them. Otherwise, they risk, you know, no longer being on the payrolls. Mm. So, you know, I have concerns about health experts serving on these committees. And, you know, and we already have a problem with so much corporate funding going into scientific research. Now we have corporations actually forming their own research institutes. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. You know, we have Coca-Cola Beverage Research Institute. I mean, you know, there's really no limit to what these companies will do. They don't even, you know, they don't think it's absurd. They think it's not a good idea. You know, imagine all the great science that's coming out of the Coca-Cola Institute. So, you know, it's
troubling. You'll have to have a minimum daily requirement of Coca-Cola coming out of that. And I guess we'll know if Dean Ornish has an effect if Ronald McDonald ever says, don't buy any of my company's products.
Yeah.
You know, that would be it, because I know him for coming out and saying, well, heart disease is reversible by going vegan, basically. He was, right?
Yeah, he says that, but, you know, it's not going to get McDonald's to go vegan, I can tell you that much.
Well, we're trying to keep, you know, I mean, they haven't been able to keep a CEO alive for any great length of time.
True.
You know, you can't hire from within at McDonald's if they're eating their own products here, you know. So.
I know. It's very funny. Yeah.
So, okay, well, we're just about out of time. I don't know if we missed anything you wanted to get to, Michelle, or not, but we've been talking to Michelle Simon. The book is Appetite for Profit, How the Food Industry Undermines Our Health and How to Fight Back. And this coming Saturday, December 9th, she has her book release party at the First Unitarian Church of Oakland, 685 14th Street near Castro Street, which is about four blocks west of the 12th Street BART station, and Michelle is with the Center for Informed Food Choices, which is informedeating.org. Any last thoughts or anything we didn't get to, Michelle?
I think for folks who are vegan to also realize that there's a much bigger issue out there with access to healthy food, and it's not just simply a matter of not eating animal products, but also to make sure that everyone has access to good, healthy, fresh produce. And I guess I'd like to have more people in the vegan activism world kind of join hands with those folks who are trying to also, you know, work for social justice and food. So, and I talk about that in the book too, just how we all need to really coordinate our efforts better, I think, and we could be a lot stronger if we did.
Of course, and eating vegan is the eating lifestyle of the social justice movement. How could it not be? Right?
It's well, no, not for everyone. Well, I mean, you know, I think this idea that everyone has to be vegan is very narrow-minded, and I really think that we need to be looking for common ground, and there's a lot of common ground in folks who are trying to promote fresh produce, sustainable produce, locally grown, et cetera, and I think it's important to, you know, to promote that and look for ways we can, you know, work together.
Okay. Well, you know, as we find, you know, global warming is caused by meat eating, and all the diseases and world hunger and
violence.
Right,
and it's also caused by shipping,
sure,
you know, products around the world, whether they're vegan or not.
Sure.
So that's why, you know, there's a lot of connections there that I think if we all looked for that common ground, we could be a lot stronger.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for being with us. That's Michelle Simon with Appetite for Profit, her new book. And again, her her party is coming up this Saturday at the First Unitarian Church of Oakland. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Let us now get to our calendar of events. I believe I have it sitting here in this folder. Okay. Oh, today, this evening, today being Sunday, December 3rd, we're broadcast in Los Angeles early afternoon, so you can head out to this this evening at 7. It's the Behind the Mask screening and fundraiser. That's at 6364 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood. Comedy and entertainment by Phil Verone, the former drummer of Skid Row and Saigon Kick, and rock star turned comic. And there'll be a silent auction for direct action and live music and DJ and vegan treats, and a screening of Behind the Mask, the great movie from Shannon Keith. It's $30 at the door, and again, that's this evening, 7 o'clock, at 6364 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood. Oh, congratulations to my friends in New York. You know, we're trying, constantly trying to get vegan and animal rights, animal liberation programming on Pacifica radio stations. I've been banging my head against the KPFK walls for many years, and KPFA has been resistant at times too, to the most important liberation cause that we have going right now. That translates into so many things, as you find out about on these shows. Well, WBAI is having a show now. My friends in New York, Michael and Nancy and others, have managed to get on to WBAI, the Pacifica affiliate there, and that program's going to run on Friday mornings. You can read about it. Actually, you can hear it at WBAI.org, where the show is archived, okay? So that's the animal rights program coming from there. If you have an event coming up, you need flyers, you need posters, check with Shalom Printing in Sherman Oaks, because you get an extra special discount for the good work that you do for animals or vegetarian causes. And the phone number is 818-905-6413. 818-905-6413. Shalom Printing in Sherman Oaks. And it's the holiday season. You're traveling around hither and yon. And when you get to hither or to yon and you want to know, hey, where's the nearest vegan restaurant or health food store where I can get something to eat? Check happycow.net. Happycow.net has all the listings worldwide that you could possibly need. Let's check from the, let me see what I have here from the, San Francisco Vegetarian Society, coming up this Tuesday, December 5th, 7 p.m. It's a free lecture and book signing with Dr. Michael Greger, MD and author of Bird Flu and Other Emerging Infectious Diseases. That's at the Humanist Hall, 390 27th Street, between Telegraph and Broadway in Oakland, co-sponsored with East Bay Animal Advocates and Compassionate Cooks. So Dr. Michael Greger, MD, physician, author, he's a favorite speaker on a number of public health issues, and he will be there this coming Tuesday, December 5th, 7 p.m., Humanist Hall, 390 27th Street, between Telegraph and Broadway in Oakland. And let's see here. We can go to the website, sfvs.org, for information on how to get there. San Francisco Holiday Potluck, Saturday, December 9th. Socializing and appetizers at 6 p.m., dining 7:30, entertainment at 8:30. And that's at 3600 Geary Boulevard. Saturday, December 9th, next Saturday. $1 for members and their guests with food, $2 for non-members with food, and $8 add $8 to each category if you don't bring food, okay? Dress up a little for this. This could be fun. Special holiday treats will be featured at the dinner, and celebrate whatever you celebrate this holiday season, winter solstice, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever. Show up and have a good time, okay? And let's see, what else we have here? KFC Leafleting, co-sponsored with the Veggie Jews. Sunday, December 17th, 12 noon, 1900 Irving and 20th Avenue in San Francisco. And the East Bay Christmas Potluck, co-sponsored with East Bay Vegans, V-E-G, asterisk N-S, vegans, vegetarians, you know who you are. That's Monday, December 25th. Socializing and appetizers, 5 p.m. Dining at 6 p.m. Dancing at 7. Raw friendly, attire dressy. And find out all the information at the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, sfvs.org. Protest the cruelty of Wolfgang Puck, the famous chef who specializes in animal torture, supporting foie gras and veal. He has an eatery in the, if you want to call it that, in the food court of the Santa Monica Promenade. So animal activists, and I believe I might be joining them next Saturday, noon to 3 p.m. at the Santa Monica Promenade to protest Wolfgang Puck. You're invited. Come on out. Let's show how we feel about foie gras, force-feeding ducks and geese until their livers explode, and veal, you know, the torture that is to the little baby calf. And coming up next Sunday, December 10th, 2 to 5 p.m., it's a benefit for the Animal Switchboard and all the great work that Virginia Handley does. Next Sunday, December 10th, 2 to 5 p.m., Fort Mason Center, Building C, Room 260, that's Marina Boulevard and Laguna Street in San Francisco. Vegan potluck and booths and entertainment, all things animal sale, art, books, jewelry, videos. Donations are welcome. Again, support Virginia Handley. She is worthy of your support with the Animal Switchboard. The phone number is 415-474-4021. Again, that is 415-474-4021. Next Sunday, December 10th, 2 to 5 p.m. at the Fort Mason Center. Okay, that's it for the calendar. Let me see here. What am I supposed to do now? I have to write it out so I pay attention. Yes, Spot Break 2. Thank you, Leo. Okay, somebody comes to rehearsals at least. And I want to tell you, of course, about, well, Veginase. You know, this show really wouldn't be possible if it weren't for the advertising of Veginase. Every week now for almost 6 years, Veginase has been a supporter of this show. And you should know that Veginase is the mayonnaise that vegans and vegetarians eat. It's totally delicious. It's beaten Hellman's and taste tests. And gosh, I just went to a Thanksgiving party in San Diego. And gosh, you know, tables full of food, but all anybody really could rave about were the yams that I brought, okay? So I baked yams. I baked the yams for about an hour at 450 degrees, and then I mashed them up. I don't peel them. I mashed them up as if they were mashed potatoes. And on goes the Veginase, a little brag, liquid aminos, and cayenne pepper. And it was the hit of the party. I hate to say it's so simple because people keep coming up to me saying, oh, what's the recipe for this? You have to tell me. But it is that simple. And the key ingredient always is vegenaise. Vegenaise is totally delicious. I have wonderful sandwiches where I use garbanzo beans and vegenaise and cut up celery and onions and a little salt, cayenne pepper, and totally delicious sandwich there. So, you know, show your appreciation to the people that follow your heart for supporting this show. Buy an extra jar of vegenaise for the holiday season. Follow Your Heart also gives us vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt, so vegans can enjoy pizza and enchiladas and nachos and wonderful foods. And also, stop giving your family the bird. Give your family chicken-free chicken from Follow Your Heart.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
Yes, indeed.
Meat.
You get your fiber from the foods that are grown, huh? So
what a waste!
What a waste! Yes, I hope he's not commenting on my radio show. Now, young man, behave yourself. Also, I want to remind you that this show would not be possible without advertisers like Nutru, the people who give us Omega Zen 3. And Nutru has been a sponsor now, supporting the show every week for quite a while, which I greatly appreciate. So you can show your appreciation by making a healthy choice and picking up Omega Zen 3. John Robbins was writing about the Omega-3s, page 148 of his book, Healthy at 100, mentioning Omega Zen 3 and Nutru by name. And I think that you would find that you would enjoy experiencing omega Zen 3. DHA, you know, is a long chain omega 3 fatty acid. It's considered a critical nutrient, one of the main components of the brain required for functioning of all neural systems, including vision. And in studies, low levels of DHA have been found in persons with heart disease and high blood pressure and cancer and Alzheimer's, depression, ADD, insomnia, stress, hyperactivity, dyslexia. And with DHA supplementation, those conditions improved. So please, this is the vegan one. We're not depleting the oceans when we're enjoying Omega Zen 3 from Nutru. You can read all about it at Nutru.com. That's Nutru.com, or pick it up at your local Whole Foods.
Experiment on animals? What a waste of their lives and your money.
Ah, now we see what the waste was. It is their lives. And especially when the food is so good. Vegans have the best food. And also in this holiday season, I want to thank Sunshine Burger for being an advertiser on this program and helping to make it possible that we're on the air. I can't do it without them. I'm no rich philanthropist who can bankroll this. You know, I got out of radio when the getting was good, when consolidation came and there wasn't the need for creative program directors anymore. So I'm doing it. You know, this is what I do as an activist, and I hope you'll support it by making a tax-deductible donation to the program. And you can do that at goveganradio.com, or mail your donation to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. Or you can go out and buy Sunshine Burgers right now. I mean, you'll really enjoy them. And you have, for example, the Southwestern Sunshine Burger, which has ground raw sunflower seeds and brown rice and carrots and black beans and bell peppers and cilantro and garlic and jalapeno and cumin seed and onion and sea salt. Totally magnificent. In the frozen food section of your natural foods market, a few months back, we had Carol Deberman on the show talking about how Sunshine Burgers came to be, a small family company, and just care about her children's health, and now they're everywhere, and you can enjoy them. And when you enjoy them, you're supporting the radio show Go Vegan with Bob Linden. So please do.
No meat for me. My tummy isn't a graveyard.
Sure enough. And also, I ask that you check out the website govegan.freelife.com for information about Himalayan goji juice. Himalayan goji juice. You'll see why it's been written up in the LA Times and in major magazines, and It's everywhere, Himalayan goji juice, and you can order it right there. Dr. Earl Mindell says it's the most important health discovery of his in his 40 years in the business. It's govegan.freelife.com. I want to thank you for listening. I appreciate your support. And please, stop eating animals. Stop wearing animals. Go vegan.